You're my boy, Blue. Can you turn my mic down just a hair, please? Or maybe turn off the monitors. I don't know. It don't sound right to me. I got like a stool up here for a midget today. I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't even know if I can sit on this stool. Oh! I'm like Doug. It hurts to sit down. I'm old. Man, isn't it crazy how the greatest songs, the greatest books, the greatest movies, it doesn't matter when they're written, they're just as relevant today as they were the day they were created. Dust in the wind. We live our lives trying to obtain. We live our lives trying to accomplish. We live our lives trying to make a name for ourselves. We live in our lives trying to do great things. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you accomplish or how little you accomplish, everybody dies. At the end of the day, everything that you do, everything that you have, and everyone likes to make it sound good. Boy, your legacy will live forever. Okay. You say so. I guess when randomly people think about you after you're gone, your legacy will live on. But at the end of the day, when you go to a graveyard, there's three things on that tombstone. The day you were born, the day you died, and I've said this story 1,000 times, there's a little bitty dash in the middle. And everything you are, everything you've done, the good you've done, the bad you've done, the indifference you've done, the first, second, third chances, everything that we are can be summed up in a dash. And that's humbling. We have one shot at this thing called life. One chance to make the most of it. And most of us squander that. At the end of the day, we're dust in the wind. And the great thing about that song is it's a biblical song. Look what the Bible says in James 4:14. It says, what is your life? I love the book of James. If you ever want to just read a practical book where each verse is just full of things you can apply to your day-to-day life, the book of James is that book. There's several books like that, but the book of James is powerful. I don't know how I've never done a series through James. Maybe we'll do that next year. The Bible says in James 4:14, it says, what is your life? You're but a mist. One of the versions of the King James says, you're but a vapor. Kansas says, you're but dust that appears for a little while and then vanishes. God created you. God made you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But in the grand scheme of things, our time here on this earth is limited. And in the grand scheme of life, we are but a mist that appears and then vanishes away. And yet we live this life scared. We live this life fearful. We live this life talking more about what we want to do instead of doing what we should do. We live this life in the clouds instead of the dirt. Because it's fun to dream about it. It's a whole nother story to get our hands dirty and actually do it. And at the end of the day, the large majority of people who walk this earth come to the end of their life regretting the risk they didn't take. Regretting the shot they didn't take. One shot at life and we're afraid that we're going to lose something. What are you going to lose? I actually think that's the power of losing everything. Once you've lost everything, you realize that, man, that failure sucks, but failure is not fatal. If you're here today and you're breathing, I don't care. If you're just getting started in life, or you're close to 110 like some of you, like Doug, if you still have breath in your lungs and your heart's still beating, you have the opportunity to make the most of your life. Somebody told me one time, they said, I've got maybe 10 years left on this earth, and why wouldn't you want to make the most of those 10 years? So many people find out how long they have to live. They get a diagnosis, and they find out they have 6 months to live. And then for the first time ever, they begin to live like they're dying. They begin to do the things they always want to do. Suddenly, when you have a timeline and you know the date, an urgency comes about you. But the reality is we're all on a timeline. We don't know when it'll be. It might be 20 years for some of us. It might be 50 years for some of us. Unfortunately, it might be a couple of days for some of us. Death is not a respecter of persons. And so my question is, if all we are in the grand scheme of things is dust in the wind, we're but a mist that appears, we're but a vapor that is here and then vanishes away, why would we waste this life? The Bible says in John 10:10, he says, I have come so they can have real and eternal life, a more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Then NIV says, I've come that may have life and have it more abundantly. The Message is sort of a paraphrase, and I like the wording. It says, I have come that they may have a real life. But not only a real life physically, but an eternal life after this life. This is not the end. We're smoking what we're selling when it comes to that. This is just the appetizer, if you will. He says, I have come, they can have real life. I wonder how many people have real life. A better life than they ever dreamed of. And the problem is when we see a better life, we automatically, I think it's just human nature, I don't know if it's our nature as Americans, we automatically equate that to possessions, things. How big our house is, how fast our cars are, things. And in some cases, it might be that, but that's not a better life. He's saying, I've come that you can have a better life, better than you ever dreamed of. I don't know about you, but I can dream pretty big. I got dreams that will put most of you in the corner sucking your thumb. I've got really into AI lately, and I've created different things in my AI, different staff positions where I can bounce ideas off of them and creative positions. And for the first time ever, about 2 weeks ago, I put an idea into AI, and I said, and so I have it set up as a marketing person, I have it set up as an analytical person, and I always ask who I'm talking to, and that way it can give me different points of view. And I typed in the dream that I had. And I said, tell me your thoughts, whether this is good or bad. Don't tell me what I want to hear. And I said, tell me analytically what you think of this. And ChatGPT responded. Our analysis, after much research, I don't know how much research they did in 2.3 seconds, is that, this makes me laugh, that might be an impossible dream. I'm like, dang, I expect that from humans. I've got this AI that I created to be a yes man, to affirm every idea I have, to tell me how great my ideas are, to tell me that even though I have zero money, I can make this dream happen. And it tells me that it might not be possible. Now, in all fairness, I did ask how I could become the ruler of the world. but I thought it would give me a plan. So what I'm telling you is I have big dreams. And God comes along and tells us he'll give us a better life than we ever dreamed of. I used to think, again, that was how much money I had in the account or how big my house was or how many vacations I went on or how much whatever it was. But I've learned that a better life than ever dreamed of is just that life of peace, that life of purpose. Oh, by the way, those two go pretty hand in hand. When a man's not living his purpose, he's never going to live with peace. Matter of fact, when a man isn't living, or a woman's not living in their purpose, they'll do whatever they can to find something to fill that void, and it will normally destroy their peace. He said, I've come along where you can have relationships that are better than you ever dreamed of. There was a time in my life that I had certain ideologies that I thought would deem me a success. And as I've matured and I've grown and I've learned what peace is like in my life, I realize, man, my circumstances don't dictate my peace. I have an addiction in my life called Zillow. If you don't know what Zillow is, it's an app where you can look at homes and property. And I'm on it probably every day. I get wild hairs. This week, my wild hair was 1,000-acre ranches in Montana on Zillow. That was just this week. You know, sometimes it is a fifth-story condo in New York City. It always changes. You know, it's always changing. But it's funny, as I look at different things now, sometimes I'm looking at downtown houses. Sometimes I'm looking at land. Sometimes I'm looking at land and thinking, man, I'm going to uproot my family and we're going to move into a camper. Yeah, right. Can you imagine that? Let's be honest. It's funny, though. No matter what I'm looking at, I know I could live there. Because what is a better life to me now is different than what it used to be. I could uproot myself and move myself anywhere. I could go home today and find out that every penny in my bank account is gone, and I'd probably freak out for a second, but I'd be okay and know I'm in peace. That's the better life that he's talking about. And we have one shot at this life, and when you get to the stage in your life that you're making the most out of it, it's game-changing. I had a guy recently tell me, he said, I've never met someone who verbalizes an idea and within 90 days you've made that idea happen. And he said, how do you do that? And I said, I don't really know how I do it. He said, are you afraid? I said, I don't really think about it. I just think about, and I do think about it. I think I have one shot at this life. And why not try it? Why not post it? Why not go after it? Because what do I have to lose? We're dust in the wind. But yet some of us hold on to everything. But if you're ever going to live the life you were created for, here's what you need to understand. You have to live passionately. Passion is what exudes from us to make the most out of this life. Nothing great ever. Listen, I'm going to say this over and over and over and over, and then I'm going to clarify what I mean by passion. Nothing great ever happens without passion. Nothing. It's the driving force behind everything. It's the driving force behind great music. It's the driving force behind great literature, great art, great drama, great architecture. Passion is what takes something from good to great. When you can see somebody passionate about something, it's motivating. My son is 13, and he's passionate about football. It's the first thing ever in his life that he hasn't kind of been into for a very short period and moved on from it. and watching him be passionate about it and enjoying it makes it where we want to be a part of it. If every time we had to get ready for practice, he was complaining, I wouldn't want to be part of football. If every time he had to go do something extra about football and he griped and complained, and I've had children that were in activities and they complained. We made them finish the season and they never did it again. But it makes it easier. We don't enjoy going to football practice every night. Football parents say amen. I don't enjoy sitting out in the sun when it's 100 degrees like it was yesterday. But he's passionate about it. We put on a concert here last night. It was not the type of concert that everyone would enjoy, though I think everyone would enjoy it if they kind of get out of their box. It was original music. It was very chilled. But it was crazy to have 230, 240 people here who were passionate about it. To see musicians on stage playing the songs that they wrote and they were passionate about it. I make the least amount of money of any event I do at shows like that. But it's my favorite show to do. Why? Because they're passionate about it. Matter of fact, and I don't say this in a bragging way, I say it just to show you the power of passion. At the end of the night, I have a door split with the band. I get a percentage of the ticket sales, they get a percentage of the ticket sales. I do all the promoting, they do all the playing. At the end of the night, I felt God telling this. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I don't know. I felt this. And I looked at him, and we went to the divide. I said, matter of fact, here, you just take it all. They argued with me. No. I said, you take it all. It's more of a blessing to them than it is me. I can't do that every time I do something. But their passion makes me want to be able to invest in them in ways that I can, and there's only certain ways that I can. My family's not going to go hungry because I gave up 25% of the door. That 25% of the door for that person might keep them chasing their dream a little bit longer. And I want to invest in passion. The Bible says in Mark 20:30, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I love how the Message again words this one. It says, love the Lord with all your passion, your prayer, your intelligence, and your energy. What God's saying is when we love him, he wants all of us. That's passion. When you're living life, we ought to be living life passionately. Hear me out. Passion has nothing to do with being an extrovert or an introvert. You don't have to be Gary Lamb to be passionate. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be excitable. You don't have to be ready to do whatever. That's not passion. There's plenty of introverted, passionate people. It has to do with something that you feel so deeply inside of you that it makes your heart leap when you get out of bed in the morning. I'm passionate about some things. I'm not just passionate professionally. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about the life that we live. I'm passionate about how we live life. I'm passionate about the future. Christine and I are in a weird stage right now. The two oldest demons are gone. The third oldest demon has a room there that she comes in like a vampire at night and sleeps in. Supposedly she lives there. I see her truck in the driveway when I leave in the morning. But I can go 5 and 6 and 7 days and never see her. I'm assuming she's alive. And then we have a 13-year-old, and we share custody with his mother, so we have him 1 week and 1 week we don't. Emily will be gone probably in the next few years, permanently. Luke, in the next 5 years, will graduate high school. And then we're on to the next stage of our life. I don't want to be dealing with the next stage of our life when it comes. I want to be planning for it now. I want to be passionate about it. I want to be intentional about it. Romans 12:11 says this, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I like that word keep because it implies that you can lose it. You ever got to a stage in your life where you've just lost your zeal? You don't know why you've lost it? You're just in a funk? I'm going to say something and it's not going to be popular, and I'm not even sure that it's accurate, but it's how I feel about my life. Get over your funks. Well, if I could just do it, you can do it. Let me tell you how I know you can do it. We have the ability to control our emotions. Before I get into my theory, I want to say, and I'm not going to be upset, how many of you agree with, you think we can control our emotions? How many of you say, no, we can't. I can't control my emotions. We can, because here's the deal. How many times have you and your wife been fighting? That never happens in the Lamb house, but I've heard other couples fight. You're throwing down. F you, name, mother effer, and blah, blah, blah. I know y'all don't say that. I'm just saying that. That's how Christine fights. That's how she fights. So I'm just talking. I don't know any other examples of fighting. I don't know healthy fighting. I know throwing stuff at me, screaming, hollering, pulling guns. No, I'm just kidding. But you're fighting, and then the phone rings, and there's a call you got to answer. Hello? Man, what's going on? Yeah, man, I haven't had a chance to turn that email back, but I'll get it to you. Yeah, man, you're having a good day. Man, hey, did you get those that paperwork in? You close that deal? Cool. Hey, man, you have a great day, buddy. Thanks for calling. Now, like I was saying, you controlled your emotions. You can control them. There's a verse, and I don't have this verse on the screen. There's a verse where Paul is in prison. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. And now he's standing before King Agrippa. And Agrippa's asking him his questions and asking him what he wants to do and asking him where it was. And Paul says, I don't need to think about this. I don't need to think about my answers to you. Basically, the king says, make sure you're real careful on how you respond to me. And Paul says, I don't need to do that. I think myself happy. He said, you've beaten me. You're fixing to kill me. He goes, but you will not defeat me mentally. You will not defeat me emotionally. I choose to be happy. I choose to live my life to the fullest. Howard Truman said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. We have one shot at this thing called life. And I just got to be honest with you, so many people are wasting it. And why would you waste it? I say this, and I joke about age a lot around here, and I know a lot of you in your world, I'm still pretty young. But I'm 49 now, almost 50. Like, I think about stuff. People that I went to school with have passed away. People that I grew up with are no longer here. So I think about this thing called life that I have and that I want to make the most of it. I don't have time to wallow in depression. I don't have time to wallow in guilt. I don't have time to wallow in shame. I don't have time to not feel like it. Because I have one shot at life. Probably I was sharing this with some people out in the lobby. Probably one of the number one questions that I get from other pastors is, how do you do so many events and yet preach so much on Sunday? The average pastor in America preaches about 39 Sundays a year. I preach 45 probably. and probably of those 45, 30 of them, I've had an event the day before where I've got home around one or two. I don't say that in a bragging way, I say it in this way, because I provide for my family through events, and I feel called to do this, and I have one shot at life, so I do it. It's what I want to do. I can be tired up on this stage, or I can be at home right now sitting on the couch being tired. What good does that do? I'll feel worse sitting at home doing nothing. I got to be real honest with you. This ain't a hard gig. I don't understand pastors who, and to each their own, and I know a lot of pastors watch my sermons during the week because they wish they could get away with saying on stage what I say, and so they live vicariously through me. But here's the deal. I don't get 38 weeks out of the year. I don't get needing sabbaticals. There's no career in America where you get a 10-week sabbatical after so many years. We stand up and we talk the word of God. It ain't complicated. Problem is we've made church complicated. That's why pastors are doing things they shouldn't be doing, but that's another story for another day. But here's the deal. My point is I'm passionate about it. I love what I do. I love what I do on events. And I love what I do here. And it's not work to me. Because I want to make the most of my life. I want to do some things. And in order to do that, you've got to be willing to do some things. There's a great story in the Bible. I've read it 1,000 times. We're going to read it again today, Luke. Some men were carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. And they tried to take him to the house to lay him before Jesus. So dude can't walk. He's on a mat. His friends want to get him to Jesus. The dude can't walk to Jesus. They're going to get him to Jesus. When they cannot find a way to do this because of the crowd, so they get up on the scene. There's so many people to hear Jesus. They can't get the dude on the mat to him. They went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. This guy, he had some redneck friends. Everybody needs redneck friends. They pulled up on the scene, too many people. Most of us would have said, man, we tried. Let's give it up. They said, nah, hold my beer. I think I can get on that roof up there. And if I can get on that roof, you can hand him up to me on this roof. And once we get on the roof, we'll just cut a hole in the roof, because that seems logical. And we'll lower him down in front of Jesus. The other one said, crack. Huh. Yeah, I think that'll work. Had to be four of them. The other one said, I mean, yeah, it'll work. You know, there was always one. There's always the one. Wow, we ain't got no straps to keep him safe. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, he thought for safety for a minute. You know what I mean? Here's what they realized. We got one shot. Jesus is here now. We don't know if he's coming back. We're not going to miss our opportunity. This is what we're going to do. Let's do it. Most of us are now trained to quit when obstacles come along. Most of us now, if it was easy, everybody would do it. God never promised you easy. He just promised to be with you. He didn't say chasing your dream would be easy. He didn't say marriage would be easy. He didn't say raising children would be easy. Amen. He didn't say birthing a dream in you and you having to go through the waiting process would be easy. You're going to have to bear with me. This thing's been distracting me. My friend's going to fall off and it's stressing me out. All right. And then I just realized it's not even real flames. Who cares if it would fail? Listen, he's saying you got one opportunity. And my question for you is, what is the opportunity you're missing out on? You're dust in the wind, baby. And you're gone. And yet you're living in fear. Nah, back that up. Most of you are not even living in fear. You're living in comfort. You like your house. You don't like your job, but it affords you that house. You're comfortable in your marriage. I mean, it ain't like it used to be, but you can tolerate her. She tolerates you. I mean, could be worse. The next one could not cook. You come home and, man, you're not enemies. Mm-mm. You're just roommates. And that's comfortable sometimes. God, you got more credit card debt than you know what to do with, but man, you know what? I can pay that minimum. Man, everything's falling off up here. That's why we don't do fancy stuff. Listen, but you're comfortable. You can make that minimum payment. You're used to it. You keep living like you've been living. You keep getting what you've been getting, and you know you're created for more, but you're comfortable. Woo! They could have been comfortable, like, man, hey, you're used to being on this bed. You're used to being on this mat. You've learned how to function. You got a good life. You got four friends. We're just going to roll with it. What verse do we in? Right down in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw whose faith? The man on the mat? Four men and lowered him down. He said, friend, your sins are forgiving. You skip on down. And he says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Now, he looked at the friend and said, because of your faith, you get up. I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately the man stood up in front of them, took what he'd been laying on and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I love this passage. I love how it ends. We've seen remarkable things today. I don't know about you, but I got one shot at life and I want to see remarkable things. I want to see things that are so big that nobody but God can get credit for it. I don't want to live my life seeing average things. Average sucks. Average is average. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I've come that you may have real life. They said, we've seen remarkable things today. But they had to do some things to see those remarkable things. If you're going to live the life you were created for, listen, you're going to have to do some things. It won't be easy. There'll be every reason not to do it. There's too many people around. We can't get to them. Remember when your kids, Christine posted, I think it might have been yesterday, a video, it was in our memories on Facebook, where Luke learned to tie a shoe. Remember trying to teach your kids how to tie a shoe? I can't. Can't never could. We tell our kids that, but we don't believe it. God, we're hypocrites. Life's going to get crowded. It's going to be hard, but it can happen. But you got to do some things. The first thing you got to do is you got to do something drastic. All we are is dust in the wind. Then make the most of our time here. Do something drastic. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. That's drastic. If you're going to live a life of passion, you're going to have to make some drastic decisions in life. You keep doing what you've been doing, you keep getting what you've been getting. I've got some things God is birthing in me. I don't know what it's going to look like. I know the what. I don't know the how. I know the bones. I don't know the skin. But I know financially, in order for me to do it, when the time comes for me to do it, if I can do it, it's going to be the biggest financial risk we've ever taken. So I've started looking at some things in my life. My wife and I make a good living. We're able to afford nice things. But I started looking and say, man, do I need those nice things? So like, for example, this week I've been looking. I don't know that I'm going to do it, but if I have to, I'll do it. I'll get rid of my truck. You say, why would you do that? You love that truck. I do love that truck, but I don't need that truck. My dream's bigger than that truck. That truck has a big payment on it. That truck's $110 every time I fill it up. Well, what would you get? I was looking at an $18,000 Tesla last night. I don't care what you want. It's $18,000. I'll go pay cash for that, and then guess how much the gas in it is? None. See, you're more worried about what you look like and what you drive than how big your dream is. I don't give a rip. There was a time in my life I cared, but I don't care now. I don't care, because you got to do something drastic. Now, will it come to that? I don't know. But if it comes to that, it comes to that. Christine asked me the other day, she said, if this comes apart, how much cash is it going to take? And I said, probably blah, 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 blah. She said, where are we going to get all that cash? I said, well, about 90% of it's already in the business account. I said, how much is in that safe upstairs? She said, what? I said, the safe upstairs. She told me. I said, okay. I said, how much is in the savings account, our personal savings account? She said, you're just going to take it all? I said, not if you're not good with it. But I said, yeah, I'm willing to take it all. She said, okay, well, don't excite me. Hold on. But I trust you. Sometimes it takes drastic things. Now, will it come to that? I don't know. If you knew you only had 1 month to live, how would you change your life? I was faced with some realities recently. And I'll be real honest with you. I didn't tell y'all this. But 2 years ago when the city bought this property, my answer to the city buying this property was this. Everybody said, what is Action Church going to do? And I used to tell people, away from here, it'll probably close down. What? I used to justify it in my head. Everything has a day it's born, a day it dies. It'd be nice to have my Sundays off. We'll shut the doors. I can look myself in the mirror and know, man, I did what God called me to do for a lot of time, 21 years just in this city. And then we got a letter in the mail saying we had 10 weeks. And I waited for a few minutes before I called Christine because I was like, oh, yeah. And I started thinking about what it'd be like not to have this place. And I've got to be honest with you, there were some good points to it. And clear as day, I knew God was not done with this place. I fought with him about it because it wouldn't hurt my feelings if he was done with this place. Not because I don't love you and not because I don't love doing this, but I've been doing this a long time. But I got one shot at life. I'm going to do what God called me to do, and God made it very clear. So here's the deal. When you get the unexpected thrown at you, sometimes you got to do drastic things. Everybody's not going to like the drastic things. I guarantee you, if those four people, one of them said, this is a stupid idea to get on this roof. That ain't our house. He's going to shoot us. Did they have guns back then? I don't know. Well, they're going to slingshot us. They had slingshots. David had one. I guarantee you they had weapons. We don't want to go down that path. Might have been the guy on the mat who said, no. Y'all ain't getting me up on that roof. Yeah, we are. What you gonna do, run away? Got to do some things that are drastic. Everybody's not gonna like it. We've done everything in our power to find a new place to move. I have looked in more buildings. I have called on more buildings. I have looked at permanent buildings. Let me sit on the midget seat. And only one door's opened up. And it's a drastic door. Because it's just everything this community would think about us. The people aren't going to like it. The religious sure aren't going to like it. And it might be for 3 weeks, and it might be for 6 months, and it might be forever. I don't know how long it'll be. But the reality is this, we're not in a position to go get a permanent building. I feel really weird sitting on this stool. It's weird. I told you. So, you got to do what you got to do. It sounds good to go get a building. We wouldn't have this building if this building wasn't located where it was. Because let me go ahead and tell you something. We're never going to pay rent on something that just gets used on Sunday morning. I know it drives people crazy. It drives the cafe people crazy. And it drives the tech team crazy. And it drives the cleaning crews crazy. And I get all that this building's opened all the time. I get it. But when a church has a permanent building, it ought to be there for the community all the time. I'll go buy us another mic if it gets gone. I bought it before. I'll buy more, another coffee maker if the one we got gets broke. We don't have a building for it to be open on Sunday mornings. So the couple of buildings we did find were really only buildings that could be used on Sunday mornings. They were in weird locations. And we're not doing that. So we're going to go portable. That's not exciting to a lot of people. Guess what? You don't got to be on the setup crew. I've already got it handled. If you don't want to serve on the setup crew, me, Bubba, and Ron will set it up every Sunday morning. You said, you, yeah, me. Believe it or not, I can do some work. It's always funny every time I do work around, people take pictures. I ain't scared of work. But I also want to make sure we find a place that's portable, that has the least amount of work for us. That's in a place that's growing. Shocker, in a place that actually wants us, because believe it or not, there ain't a lot of people that want us. You know? And then the last requirement, God, as I prayed to God, is God, a place that wants us, a place that's portable. You know, God, I do like to stir it up a little bit. So I'm excited to show you our new home. Play that video, Xander. Hey guys, I know you've been a little bit stressed about what is the future home of Action Church, and I get it too. Man, we have looked at 100 places. We have looked at permanent places. We have looked at portable places. We have looked at temporary places. And I'm proud to say we finally found a new home for Sunday mornings. Man, as good as that tastes, that's actually not why I'm here today. I want to welcome you to the new home of Action Church, Rock Solid Brewery, right in downtown Ball Ground. This place fits everything that we're looking for. It allows us to be portable. It allows us to be temporary. It's already got seats and tables, so you guys are going to be used to sitting around that. And let's just be honest. What's a better fit for Action Church than a brewery? A place where people gather together, have great drinks, create community, and now on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, it'll be the temporary home, maybe the permanent home one day, of Action Church. I can't wait to see you guys here starting the first Sunday in October. That's drastic. It's not the first choice. But the every other choice was crowded. Sometimes you got to get up on a roof. I don't like it. You must have us mistaken for the Baptist church that votes on stuff and cares what you think. It's going to be awesome. You're used to sitting around tables and chairs. We don't got to do that. We're going to bring in a stage. We're going to bring in a sound system. And we're going to have church. You got to do something drastic. Oh, but here's the problem with that building. It has no kids area. So we went this week, and I took your hard-earned giving money. Thank you. I went to our elders first, and we bought a bus that's already been retrofitted for kids. It's got three air conditioners in it. It's already been gutted. It's got padded flooring. It's got a zip line in it. I don't know why it has a zip line in it, but in the bus it has a zip line. We're going to come in. We're going to set it up right at the front door. You're going to be able to walk into the sanctuary. You're going to check your kids into the kids area. We'll probably bring some of our bicycle racks. We'll fence that area in outside the bus, put the bounce house out there. They're going to have the bounce house, and they're going to have the bus. And guess what? We're going to have church because the church is not this building. Well, Gary, how long are we going to be there? I don't know. As long as God wants us there. I believe we're going to grow drastically. Ball Ground is the growing city in Cherokee County. The largest church in Ball Ground. The largest church in Ball Ground runs about 45 people on Sunday morning. You say, well, it's so far away. It's not far away. It's 10 minutes away. And it's 10 minutes on the interstate. I'm just scared of driving. Really? What? We're not asking you to drive at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just a logical move. The band, they're used to playing in rat hole bars. They're going to feel at home. Most of y'all, you're used to drinking. We ain't going to be drinking. Well, we might. Yeah, man, we might drink on Sunday morning. I don't know. We might turn the taps on. I don't know how that works. I don't know. Probably not the first week. Not maybe the fourth. I don't want to freak them out. But here's the deal. That's drastic. Now, here's what we can do. We can be negative about it. We can whine about it. We can cry about it. And I'll be honest with you, for those of you that are that, I've already done that. It's not my first choice. Or we can get excited and trust God for what God is doing. Go where God is moving. And for us, for whatever reason, it couldn't be more obvious that God is closing this season in our life in Canton. I don't say that lightly. What was one of the first things I ever told you when we started dating? We went on a date, she made a comment, she said, I hate Canton. I said, that could be an issue. What? I just don't lie, I'm at school here. I looked at her and said, I need you to understand something. I feel called to Canton. And I don't see myself ever leaving Canton. Did I not? But God calls us to places and God calls us to other places. The door's shut here. Can I be honest with you? And I might be the reason this happened. God shut the door in Canton a year and a half ago. That's right. I fought it. A year and a half ago, I said, I can't keep doing this, this, and this. And God kept telling me to quit doing these things around this area, and I couldn't let them go. God will get his way no matter what. So he shut the door. I hope all of you make the journey with us. I hope at least, if I've been your pastor for any amount of time, here's what I'm asking. Give us 4 weeks. Just give us 4 weeks. I don't ask much of you. Give us 4 weeks. I'm going to go ahead and prepare you some things. Matter of fact, let's get to the next point because this is what you need to understand. This goes back to the next point. You got to do something drastic. You got to expect the unexpected. Life interrupts you. They didn't expect to show up and there'd be a crowd there. Look, they didn't expect it. They didn't expect the response they got from Jesus. When they lowered him down in front of Jesus, they expected him to, first thing out of his mouth, be like, get up and walk. Look what he said, first of all. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute, that's not what we came. That's cool. We came here where we could walk. Jesus knew he had to heal him internally before he could heal him physically. How we want God to move, God doesn't always move. There's going to be some unexpected things. And I tell you, these are probably the things I'm going to struggle with. I like dark and dingy. I do. I like black walls. I like rock and roll look. That's what I like. We're actually going to move into a place that's clean. We're moving into a place that has windows and there's going to be sunlight. It's going to feel different. I need you to understand that. Here's the problem. I need you to expect the unexpected. They didn't expect a crowd there. Go ahead and expect it's going to be different. I know this is hard for some of you. Change is a good thing. Things that are not changing are not growing, and things that are not growing are dying. Church was never created to be comfortable. And we've got real comfortable here. And we could have stayed comfortable here to the day I was done. But God knows the vision is too important. God knows the mission is too important. God, I believe this with everything that is in me. I believe the future of the church, big C, is churches like Action Church. It's not churches that care about buildings. It's not churches that care about the show. It's not churches that care about the pomp and circumstance. It's not churches that care about the money. It's churches that are willing to get their hands dirty and go out into the community and see a need and meet a need and put their faith into action. And that's what we're going to be. We slash our facility budget by almost 60% moving into this building. What we pay there a month is what our electric bill is here. You say, what does that mean? What I mean is it's going to give us money to do whatever God wants us to do. What are we going to do? How are we still going to be action? We're going to see a need. We're going to meet a need. Things won't be the same. Guess what? There's not a need for a warming shelter in downtown Ball Ground. Thank you, Jesus. After 11 years of that. But there'll be other needs. I don't know what those needs will be. A lot of young families moving there. Guess what it means? Those of you that have been married for years, that have been through the fire in your marriage, maybe God's going to bring you along to help other people see what goes on. I don't know. There's an entrepreneurial spirit in that town. Maybe it's a new church coming along and saying, hey, let me show you how we're going to do some things. There's still hungry people in Ball Ground. We're going to reach into Jasper. We're going to reach into Canton. We're going to impact people's life. We're going to see a need, and we're going to meet a need. I don't know what the needs look like. I haven't been there yet in that context to see what the needs are like. But we're going to meet whatever needs there are. We're going to be able to put money back for when God opens up a building. I've already got a building zeroed in. It's got renters in it, and I'm very conflicted on how I pray about it. Even David told me, he said, man, I like that building too, but I don't want to pray the business goes out of business. So I pray a very complicated prayer. God, help these people to realize this is too much building for them, and that they should move to another building on Main Street and thrive in that building all the while you give us this building. Got to get specific with God. I don't know that it'll happen. But here's what I know happened. Something. You say, you're stressed about it? I'm not stressed about it, because we expect the unexpected. See, they walked up and saw the people, and most of us would look at it like a problem, and man, God saw it as an opportunity. Losing your building would be a problem to a lot of people. We're not a lot of people. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to impact lives. It's an opportunity to upset the religious as I launched churchatthebrewery.com. It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. It's going to be an adventure. Gosh, don't you want an adventure in life? You got one shot at life. One shot. If all this place was a building, then man, we failed as, I failed as the pastor. Expect the unexpected. Third thing we're going to do is we're going to create God space. You want to go chase your dream? You want to live the life you were created for? You want to do what God's called you to do? You better create God space. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up into the roof and they lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. The best place to go when you're ready to chase your dreams is to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Make time for Christ. When you're so busy, when you're so hectic and you're trying to make it happen, that's when you got to stop and make time for God. I've got friends who have a cabin. The last 2 weeks, I've taken time out of my schedule to go to that cabin. 1 week, I was able to go there. The second week, I showed up and someone was there. So I didn't stay. I didn't have time to go there. It's great. It's before event season. It's before we have to move to church. But I know that I know that I know I need God time right now. I know that I need to be in front of Jesus. I know that I need my quiet time. My wife came to me this weekend. She's been struggling with some things. Not really struggling with something specific, just in a mood. She said, my God time's not good. And I said, that's when you got to make time for God. When you don't feel like making time for God, you make time for God. You make time for the thing. Guess what? You make time for all the other BS in your life. They put him in front of Jesus. There's no better place to be than you. Here's what I can tell you about this decision. We went to God about it. We prayed about it. The doors open. I get it, man. It can be coincidence. But you don't think it's a God thing that we get on Facebook Marketplace and type in, bus for kids. It's not a really common thing. Bing, there's one. Called on it, oh, we just sold it. But we got another one we ain't even listed yet. And it's cheaper. We'll take it. I sent David to negotiate with him. No wonder it costs so much. Got to create God space. Hey, look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. I'm going so long. Look, I'm really not. Sound guy, I know you're probably used to preachers to go 20 minutes. You're at the wrong church. Don't fall asleep back there. Look what it said. This is Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, he explained, everyone is looking for you. They were busy. They were on the road. They were out doing ministry. Jesus compacted all his ministry in 3 years, but even Jesus knew, I got to get away for a little bit. You want to do what God's called you to do? You want to go start a business? You better make time for God. You want to get your finances in order? You better make time for God. You want your marriage to work and be something that it can be? You better make time for God. You want your kids and your relationship to be right? You better make time for God. You want to make the most out of this one life that you have? Then you better make sure God's included in it. Make sure God's in it. You can't go wrong with that. I was so in tune in making sure God was in this that I was prepared to move our church without a building. We had already decided, I've got a warehouse in Ball Ground. It's a detailing shop and a wrap shop. It is not anywhere near a church. But I was like, you know, worst case scenario, we'll move it into the business on Sunday mornings temporarily to make sure we don't go to a bad spot. I'm telling you, we've prayed about these things. We've created God's space. But I hope you're creating God's space in your life. It's a secret. The secret to maintaining your passion in a crowded world is to get away from the crowd every now and then. I'm telling you, it's game changing. When I come back from being away for the day, I'm a different person, am I not? I find time to be with God. Proverbs 10:27 says, reverence for God adds hours to each day. Check this out. I just don't have time. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. I don't know how to explain it, but the more time I take away with God, the more the other stuff doesn't have the drama or the issues or take as long to handle. I make for this time, and God adds hours to my day, not physically. I don't have a 27-hour day, but what should have taken me an hour now takes me 10 minutes. What should have been 20 phone calls now suddenly becomes 2 phone calls. And I get more done in that time period because I put God first and I made time for God. You see, you don't believe me? Go try it. Right. Last of all, and I'm done. Keep a constant reminder. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. We're going to take some reminders with us. I'm a branding person. I'm a marketing person. I'm a promoting person. So when I thought it was time to leave, I was like, you know, we've had the same brand for 13 years. It might be time to freshen up the logo, the colors. And clear as day, God was like, nope. Take it with you. There might come a time for that, but not right now. Take it with you. There's going to be enough changes. Take this with you to remind you. We're still going to be Action Church. Don't let the candles up here fool you. We ain't going kumbaya in the brewery. Feels good for this about once every 2 years. I'm going to be me in ball ground just like I am me here. Matter of fact, after 2 or 3 beers before I preach, I might be more me. I'm kidding. Let's give them something to talk about. We take a reminder with us. He said, take that mat with you. Here's why I said that. Because there's going to come a day where all of a sudden your walking becomes normal. And you're going to forget what I did for you. Take some things with you. We've got some things that we're going to take with us. Mainly, we're going to take our love for God, love people, and take action with us. When things start to change, and you're like, oh my gosh, things are changing. I just don't like it. Shut up. Ask yourself, are things changing? Or is the skin changing, but the bones are the same? Is the message still the same? The foundation is what we are. We've never been about a building. Even when we had a building, we weren't about this building. You might have been about this building. We weren't. We're going to take some things with us. Look what happens. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what had been laying on, and went away praising God. Immediately he was able to live the life he was created for, a life of walking, a life with a new lease on it. Why? Because he did some things. He did something drastic. He expected the unexpected. He made time for God, got right in front of God, and he kept that reminder. And he went from laying on a mat to skipping around town. Listen, all we are is dust in the wind. That's it. When you quit breathing, you're gone. People are going to talk about you for about 2 days. And they're not going to think about you anymore. Not because they're bad people, just because life goes on. So why do we live our life playing it safe, trying to impress those people? I'm excited about the future. But more than I'm excited about the future of this church, I'm excited about the future for some of y'all who realize you got one shot this life and you're going to seize it today.